Final hour on this Wednesday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis from News 2, Parker Kelly with you, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Been a busy show so far. Preds making a deal for Maverick Bork from the Dallas Stars. Spent the last hour on that. Max Herz joined us, so if you missed that, you can go check it out on the podcast. World Cup underway for the day. England and DR Congo facing off.
Harry Kane in England. I don't think England has been great in this tournament to this point.
No.
But they are still very capable of doing very well. They're a strong favorite in this one.
Yep.
But as we've seen with Germany and the Netherlands both going down, I mean, it's been a shocking first round.
Yeah.
It really has.
Most of the games have come down to either goals in stoppage time at the very end or penalty kicks.
Brazil barely took out Japan.
Right.
Could you imagine if we'd lost Brazil as well in the first round?
I know. Crazy. Yeah. Crazy. So we'll keep an eye on this one for you. The U.S. plays tonight against Bosnia and Herzegovina. We'll talk about that game later on. But I did tease it before the Maverick Bork news that we're going to play some Titans
higher or lower
for the 2026 season.
We got derailed.
Corey gave me this idea on Sunday when I went on Sports Extra. So we're going to go through. I did not look at like Vegas odds for this because
Did you make your own?
I made my own.
Okay, and I do that sometimes.
Because I felt like I have an idea of what's reasonable. And sometimes the Vegas odds, it doesn't take into account people who, you know, actually cover the team daily.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with Cam Ward here. We're going to do Cam Ward. We're going to do offensive skill positions, and we'll do defense.
Okay.
And we're going to go higher or lower. Parker, you're playing too.
Parker,
all right.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
Let's get it.
All right. Starting with Cam Ward.
Yep.
Over or under, higher or lower, 3,650 yards.
That's a lot. I thought you were going to say 3,250. So
last year he had right around that, 32-ish.
Well, 200.
He had 3,169 last
200
year.
A game would be 3,400 a game, or 3,400 for the season. Add another 10.
It would be
10.
It would be like
70.
It would be like 220 yards a game.
Yeah, not quite. Probably 215. I'm going to say under.
Under 3,650, Parker, what are your thoughts?
Is there a way for me to say around that?
Say if you want to say right there.
Okay, I'm confident Cam Ward can make the jump about 400 more passing yards than last season. I think he could do it.
Consider this, that there's and I know that history has no bearing, but we've never had a Titans quarterback here throw for 4,000 yards.
Right.
I don't know how many have thrown for over 3,650. I mean, Tannehill might be it. And so you'd be talking about an historic season. That doesn't mean it can't happen, but I'm just saying that's a really big jump. That's a really big
jump. It is a big jump.
And so, you know, am I saying it's impossible? No, I'm not.
There have only been two Titans quarterback seasons, Titans, not Oilers, Titans quarterback seasons over 3,650, Ryan Tannehill in 2020 and 2021.
Okay, there you go.
So
I'm going to go under just because it's such a big leap.
Not a slam dunk for him to hit 4,000.
Stop it. Stop it.
He's going over.
That's my worst take of all time. It was just such an overestimation on Brian Callahan.
Yeah. Yeah. You weren't the only one who had high hopes year.
We'll get back on this conversation. I thought the Titans were going to become this really pass happy team, which is kind of what they tried to be, but they just weren't good enough to do it. They couldn't block well enough, and Levis couldn't play well enough. And so that's what I was basing it on.
Right.
Is I thought, you know,
they were going to throw the ball a whole lot more.
Yeah. I'm like, they're going to sling it, and they're going to throw it for, you know, 230 yards a game. Yeah, for sure. And so, you know, that's and I believed Levis, and I still believe Levis has some ability.
Yeah.
And so I overshot. I understand that. I live with it. I live with the shame of it, and that's fine. But you know, so we'll see on Cam Ward this year that I have to go under until I see him go over.
I am totally good with that. 3,650 is the number that I had for Cam Ward. Corey goes under. Parker says it's about right. All right. 20 passing touchdowns for Cam Ward.
I like that. I go over. I know the Vegas number is under that. It's like 18 or something.
Right. And that's why I was like, I'm just going to kind of make up my own based on gut feel here.
No, I mean, I think with, You know, I look at Carnell Tate. He's a long player. I think he's a good red zone target. I think that the tight end is a good red zone target. I think Wandale Robinson's a guy who can win off the line of scrimmage and catch some short touchdown passes. And so I think over. I'm not going to say how much over.
Yeah.
But you're asking me over, under 20, I'm going to go over.
Yeah, he had 15 last year.
Yeah, and had like zero for like 7 weeks.
Right, right.
He needs to get off to a quicker start and he'll hit that number.
He just needs to not have Brian Callahan as his coach.
Also true.
I want to say he had 10 in the last 8 games of the season.
Yeah,
so
he had 4 in a row with 2 touchdown passes after Callahan got fired.
And also barely played at all in the game against the Jaguars.
And by the way, the one drive he played was maybe the best drive of the season.
Right. Parker, over under 20 touchdowns.
I'm also going over. I think Corey hit the nail on the head. Carnell Tate is a guy that like goes up for every single pass that he catches. Good red zone target, assuming he stays healthy.
And Chim Dike can also make plays with
right.
the football.
Wandale Robinson's very good in short space. Gunnar Helm, I think, is going to be primarily relied upon in the red zone. I do think Cam Ward goes over 20.
I would say I think probably slightly over. Because what? 20?
Well, only needs to be 21 to win.
Right. Because 20 is barely more than one per game.
Yeah. Like, and look, I think we're all confident they're going to score 20 points a game this year.
They're going to score more than they did last year.
Yes.
Yeah. And only had 15 passing touchdowns last year. I think 20... I would say over there. Interceptions for Cam Ward. Last year he had 7.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to set the over-under at 8.
Mm-hmm. It's a good question. That's hard. I mean, 7 is not many.
He only threw 1 after the bye, maybe 2 after the bye.
He had several interceptable balls.
Oh, wow. Congo just scored.
Congo's on the board. Oh, look at that backflip.
Backflip, spin.
I'm going to go over. I mean, I know he takes good care of the football. But, you know, it only takes a couple of tips to send that thing the other direction.
Yeah.
And so I'll go over.
And 7 last year was pretty low. I think
that was really good.
I would be okay if he threw a couple more picks, got rid of the fumbling issue.
Yes.
Like that,
yeah, the ball security issue. But look, if he had 21 and 10, you'd probably be pretty good with that, right?
Right. He had last year, he only had 2 fumbles last year. I guess
the one that fell out of his hands for the touchdown.
No, that can't be right.
No,
because it says no fumbles lost.
No, that's impossible. The back half of the season he cleaned it up.
They must not call fumbles in the pocket as fumbles. Like I don't know, yeah. But it says he only had 2 fumbles. He had more than that. If he can clean up that part of ball security, I'd be okay with a couple extra picks. I would say over, but slightly. Parker, over under. 8 interceptions for Cam.
So I'm also going to go over, and here's why. I think Cam Ward's going to take more chances across the middle with all the new weapons that he has, and I think that'll lead to more balls that are intercepted.
The balls that get tipped up high. When they, I agree with
because,
you.
Because, I mean, he did get lucky a lot last year. You may not get lucky again.
Yeah, he did have – he had more interceptable passes than that interceptions
is, that,
last
well,
year.
That is a statistic that he got away with some.
Yes, the turnover worthy throws.
Yes, and so you just said you can't expect to get away with that 2 years in a row. So we'll see what happens with that. Look, I'm not going to be concerned unless he becomes this Jameis Winston interception machine. Was it Brian Callahan who said that every interception has its own story?
I think it was, yeah.
Yep. Well, he's not wrong.
Yeah.
He's not wrong because, look, I think receiver interceptions should become a stat.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of, receiver has the ball bounce off his hands, a guy picks it off, and the quarterback gets an interception on a stat
right.
line. What is that? What is that?
Yeah.
That's a receiver interception. And I'm not sitting here saying, well, he's only going to have a receiver interception. I'm just saying every one of them is different. End of the half, throwing up for grabs.
Right.
Just make either we're getting 6 points or the half's over.
Right.
And you throw an interception. That one goes online as an interception.
And you look back after the season and nobody's circle. Oh, well, it says he has 11 interceptions, but 3 of those were Hail
drops
Marys,
and 2 were Hail Marys.
I am a big fan of adjusted quarterback stats.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I would love an adjusted quarterback stat at the end of the season.
Because what happens if you hit a guy in the hands and he drops it?
Right.
That looks bad on you, but really, you threw a good ball, the receiver just dropped it, or vice versa.
But are you also going to adjust if a receiver makes just an unbelievable grab?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, yeah.
Or,
you can do
that.
There are the advanced analytics for that.
It does even out, right? Like, there are probably plenty of interceptions that don't fall on the quarterback,
sure.
but it evens out with defensive backs having bricks for hands and dropping balls. So, you know,
Throw a screen and it's like a 2-yard pass and the running back takes it 70 yards.
Oh, right.
Yes. Like, that makes you look really good.
And the quarterback gets 70
yes.
yards passes.
Yes. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
So if we kind of put our heads together here, just a stat line here for Cam Ward, 3,500 yards.
36.
No, I'm saying like if we go under.
All
so right. Let's say 3,500 yards, 22 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Do you feel good about that with Cam Ward?
Absolutely.
Obviously, you don't want a box score watch, but like
that's progress.
I think that's
a step
forward.
I'd be happy with that. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a step forward.
That'd be growth. That'd be growth. Absolutely. If you know what it is, it's more points on the board.
That is true.
More touchdowns.
Yes.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your thoughts on this. We're going to go through the rest of the roster, starting with the skill positions next. We'll talk about what Carnell Tate could do as a rookie. What is Wandale Robinson's expectations for his first year as a Titan? Tony Pollard, Gunnar Helm, and more. 615-737-1025. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 1025 the game. Next man up, 1025 the game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly. United States back on the pitch tonight against Bosnia and Herzegovina, trying to advance to the round of 16. And I believe the next game after this one is Belgium and Senegal. So
that's a good day.
So we will find out who the U.S. would face if they were to advance to the round of 16. Neither of those teams are going to be easy draws if the U.S. is able to win tonight.
Well, we're finding out right now nobody's an easy draw.
Right.
Right?
The Congo. Up 1-0 on England 15 minutes in.
Just punched England right in the nose.
It's early, but another upset could be brewing early on in these knockout stages. We are going through the Titans 2026 season and playing higher or lower.
Okay.
I've come up with numbers for a lot of these players, and I want to see
what
are expectations. Let's go faster for skill positions.
Okay.
Carnell Tate is the big name.
Yeah.
Number 4 overall pick. Everybody excited for his rookie season. Over or under 900 yards this year?
You know, I think a few weeks ago, before I saw him at OTAs and mandatory minicamp, I would have said under, and I would probably have thought 700 or 800. I think over. I think I'm going to go over. I mean, I'm not sure if he'll hit 1,000, but he looks like the stuff.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go over too. We just saw Egbuka. Tet McMillan have big rookie years. I think that Carnell Tate can do the same. I'm going to say over. I would hope he gets to 1,000. I don't know, but I think he gets over 900. Parker, higher or lower, 900 yards for Carnell Tate.
He needs to go over. I'm with Gore. I saw him at training camp too, or mini camp. He looks great. You know,
highest end receiver they've got when you just look at talent.
Yes, yes. But you know my feelings on this. You drafted him 4th overall. He needs to have at least 1,300 yards within his first 3 seasons.
Yeah.
So he needs to go over.
You know, my concern is volume to Wandale Robinson.
Yeah.
How much does that take away from him? But, you know, look, if he can do 68, 70 catches for 950 to 1050, I think that'd be a great rookie year.
Do you think he could have a Malik Nabers type rookie season? Because Nabers had 1,200.
And again, that was in a Dable offense.
Yeah, but I mean, Malik Nabers really a freakish athlete.
He was also their only.
Yeah, I mean,
Wandale was on that.
Wandale had 93 catches that year.
Yeah, but I'm saying, athletically, are we putting Carnell in that category?
Carnell
not as fast.
Not the prospect Malik Nabers was.
I do think Carnell Tate has better hands.
Yes, his hands are very long, very large.
But Nabers is a better athlete.
Nabers got 170 targets as a rookie.
Yeah, and I don't think Carnell Tate's going to get 170.
I don't think he's getting 170.
Yeah, 109 receptions.
109 catches, 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns for Malik Nabers.
So maybe we're undershooting him. I mean, because you're saying this is Brian Dable.
All we got to do is say over. I think he goes for 1,000.
900, I feel like, is a decent mark to set it at, and I would say over.
Okay.
6 touchdowns for Carnell Tate, higher or lower.
Look, I think it's minimum 6. I say over.
Yeah, me too.
I agree. I I've continued to say I want Tet McMillan's rookie season from Carnell Tate. I think that is a good bar to set. Tet McMillan had 70 catches, 1,014 yards, 7 touchdowns. If he does exactly that, that is a great success for Carnell Tate in year one. Let's see.
Man, Congo is all over England.
Let's go with Wandale Robinson, 700 yards.
Over. They paid him too much money to go under.
Parker?
I hate agreeing with Corey so much. I think he's going to go over too.
I mean, I did make this number, but I'm going to say just about right.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to get the volume he did last year, and he had just over 1,000 yards.
Well, his volume back-to-back years. Last year, though, his yards per catch went way up.
Right. Yeah, I think Wandale's going to have more receptions than Carnell Tate. I think he'll lead the team in receptions, but Carnell
yards.
Tate will have more yards.
Yeah, because he'll have longer catches. Yeah.
I think 700, 750, probably about right. If I had to lean one way, I'd go over,
I'd probably go over 8.
You'd go over 8? Wow.
I'd probably go over
8. He did have 1,000 yards last year. That was with
Malik
Neighbors.
I'm telling you, once they get inside the 5, is going to find Wandale.
Well, we're going to go through these. I'm going to tell you guys, not everybody can go for 1,000 yards.
Right.
And so there are guys I think will go under.
Yep.
And so just to put that out there. Go ahead.
Well, I didn't put a ton of the other receivers on here because I just did.
Well, how about Gunnar Helm? Did you put that on?
I put Gunnar Helm.
Okay,
Gunnar Helm, let's go over under 500 yards.
See, I'm going to go under.
I think slightly under two.
Because
Dable doesn't use his tight ends a whole lot.
No, and that's what I hear the Titans players, he uses his tight ends a lot. No, he doesn't.
Gunner's going to be used more in the red zone.
It's Dawson Knox.
Yeah.
Dawson Knox, the guy who catches one or two
passes
with
Bellinger.
A game. He's a blocker.
Yeah.
But they even drafted Theo Johnson.
Yeah, right.
And they didn't use the heck out of
him.
They had Darren Waller for a little while. And he flashed.
And Gunner doesn't need to be used much outside of the red zone. I mean, they'll use him.
Yeah.
But he's a red zone guy.
For Gunner, I see 350 to 450.
I would have said 400-ish. But I think the touchdown number needs to go up 5 touchdowns, higher or lower.
That is I'm going to go 6.
I'm going to go under.
I'm thinking
4.
Man, okay. I'd like to see Helm get more 5, 6, 7 touchdowns somewhere in there,
you're stacking up touchdowns.
Right, I know. If you're saying that Tate's going to have more than 6, it's
if we said 7 for Tate, 6 for Helm, and
right,
how many
that
for,
leaves,
8 for Wandale? How many is
that's
that?
21.
That's 21. That's all the ones that we had for Cam.
So you can't. Not everybody can have this huge.
Hit. That is true.
Yeah.
You can't throw to everybody on every
and
single.
That's
play.
Why, I'm looking at Gunnar Helm saying 404.
Yeah, I think. I would probably say 5 is about right. I would say under on Wandale Robinson's touchdowns, though. He's never been a great touchdown scorer.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
I would say I'd put him more at 5 or 6.
Yeah. Did we throw a touchdown number?
I didn't put one out for him, but
throw it out then.
6.
6. I'll go under.
Yeah. I'm going to say under for Wandale.
I'll go 5.
So that's under.
Let's go to the ground game here. Okay. Tony Pollard's had 1,000 yards in each of his first 2 seasons with the Titans. I'm going to go a little lower here. Do you think he gets to 900 this year?
Yeah, because all he does is get 1,000 yards. I mean, he's gotten 1,000 yards on back-to-back craptastic teams.
That's true.
All right. And, I know they're saying that he and Tajay are, clear 1-2. Tajay has never proven he can stay healthy for any length of time whatsoever.
Yeah.
So, I think, you wonder if the offensive line will be better. We still don't know. That center and right guard spot are still problematic. But last year, once they got some of the offensive line figured out and Luke Stocker kind of took over the run game.
Yeah.
Tony Pollard could still tote the rock. And so, 1,000 yards in a 17-game season is less than 60 yards a game.
Yeah.
And so I will go over, was it 900?
900.
Yeah, I'll go over 900.
I'm going to say slightly under. I think, I don't know if you can rely on Tajay Spears to be
What do you mean you don't know?
I said I don't think you can rely on Tajay.
Oh, I thought you said I don't know if you can.
No, I don't think you can rely on Tajay Spears.
Corey was ready to get at you.
Maybe
I did say no, but I meant I don't think you can rely on Tajay Spears. But you've added more, Nick Singleton's in that room. I think he's going to take some carries as the year goes along.
Yeah, look, they sound like they like him, but in the words of their head coach, he's got a lot of work to do.
Right.
So
I just think by the end of the year, it may not be Tony Pollard getting 20-plus carries a game.
No. It'd be nice to see Singleton get sprinkled in there at some point. But yeah.
I'm going to go slightly under. I'm going to say like 850, 875 for Tony Pollard this year. Parker, what are you thinking with Tony?
So what we have here is Corey has taken my mind, he's opened it, and he's reading straight from it. Because everything that he said, I agree. Tony Pollard's got just over 1,000 yards the last 4 years. Can't rely on Tajay Spears. That's one of the things that drives me crazy about him, because the talent is clearly there, but he can't stay healthy. Can't rely on him. Don't know what to expect from Singleton. I'm going 1,000 yards for Tony Pollard. Give me the over.
All right. You guys are both over on Tony. He does have 1,000 yards in four straight years. One of two running backs to do that in the
Pretty
last
much
four
did
years.
It last year.
But less than 1,100 all 4 years.
Yeah. Yes, that is true.
So right in the middle.
He has, he had 1,007 in 2022, 1,005 in 2023. 1,079, 1,082 in his 2 years with the Titans. Yep. He's had five touchdowns each of the last 2 years.
He got hosed
higher
last year.
Five touchdowns.
I'm going to go over.
I'm going to go over, too. I think they'll be better in the red zone this year.
He'll have more opportunities.
For Tony Pollard?
Over under five.
Give me the over.
Over. Okay. We're all big on Tony Pollard scoring touchdowns.
I think seven or eight running touchdowns.
A lot of overs being taken.
Yeah, I know.
You know, but the numbers are down because they've been so bad offensively.
I'm trying to be reasonable with the numbers, which I think has left us with a lot of overs. But
yeah, well, but I mean, as we talked about, I went Gunnar Helm under. If you gave me Calvin Ridley, I would go under probably on whatever you're going to throw me on that.
Right.
So there are guys that I was – and Tajay Spears, I'm going to probably go under whatever you give me on that. So there are guys I was prepared to go under on.
I just gave you a lot of the over ones.
Yes, you gave me the guys who are supposed to get it done. I think the really difficult one is Chimdike.
Yeah, let's do Chimdike here.
What'd you say? 500?
I'm going to go lower than that. I was going to say 400 yards for Chimdike.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, but I like Chim. I'm going to go over.
I'm going to go under. I just don't think he gets the opportunity to. I think he's going to be on the field, but he's going to get less targets than last year with adding Carnell Tate, adding Wandale Robinson. I'm gonna say under 400 for Chimdike.
He's got to average 30 yards a game to get 510. So I'm going to go over. And I don't know what your touchdown number is. I'm going to go. I will go four touchdowns, whether that's over or under.
I think he's going to be a low-volume, high-impact player for this team.
I think he is a yards-per-catch guy.
Right, that's what I think it's going to be.
So he could be like a 38-catch, 500-yard guy.
Yeah.
I think of like a Rashid Shaheed type, but with a smaller role in the offense.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the under, too. Yeah, I think because he's going to be wide receiver five.
Yeah, right.
Who's four?
Elik Ayomanor.
DK might be four.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those two, you could tell me one's four, one's five, and I'd believe you. Like, I think it just depends on their role, though. Like, they're going to play different roles. Elik probably is going to be more on the outside. Chim, you can move around more. He could play in the slot.
I like Elik. His hands betray him at times.
Yes.
The explosiveness of DK, I think he's got to be on the field.
I do, too. I think he'll be on the field. Yeah, I just don't think...
His big play...
There's only so many yards to go around.
I think he's going
to
be used more like a Khalif Raymond.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good...
But, like, see, you know, I sit here and, you know, Calvin Ridley's coming back, and I'm just like, I'd rather see Chimdike on the field.
That's fair. And maybe as the year goes on, Ridley's role diminishes, and you see more of Elik and Chim.
I just say that because he's part of the future of this team, and Ridley is not.
Right.
I want him out there. I want to see that relationship build, and I want to see if he can do it.
Yeah. No, it's a good point.
I'm a genius.
That wide receiver, yes.
Dable will use him a lot better than Callahan, though, because he'll just send him on crossers, right, that TD refers to.
He can turn it upfield, absolutely. Yeah.
Even Mike McCoy and Bo Hardigree knew how to use Chimdike better. When he had, it was like seven catches for 17 yards, and...
It was like watching the Water Boy.
Yeah.
When they had an idiot's guide to football on the sideline and they were laughing.
I'm pretty sure anybody that's played Madden knows better.
Yeah.
And every time he was on the field, like, oh, here comes a bubble screen. Yep. Oh, there's four guys all over him. I'm like, what are we doing here? Do we have a scouting department?
Just sitting in the box, slamming my head on the
table. As soon
as
Callahan left, they started using him downfield. And it worked. It's like, oh, whoa. Has this guy been here the whole time?
Yeah.
He can do it. He's fast.
Well, that's why everybody keeps talking about getting speed on the outside. He's got speed.
Yeah.
They got
a. Chim's a legit burner.
He could be your go route guy.
By the way, did you see Chim just got engaged?
Yes, no. I did. His fiance plays in the National Women's Hockey League.
That's right, she does. He wore her jersey.
She looks like she could play in the NFL.
Yeah, she's a hockey player. Yeah. She's good, I want to say.
I'm gonna guess he met her at Wisconsin.
I think so.
That sounds right.
They love their hockey in Wisconsin.
Yes, they do.
The Badgers can play hockey.
And fill up at the bubbler.
Yes. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. All of our football offseason coverage on 1025 The Game is presented by Tennessee Brew Works and Parman Tractor and Equipment. Parman Tractor and Equipment providing totally outrageous customer service. Visit ParmanTractor.com and raise a glass with Tennessee Brew Works.
Oh, man, I am sweating.
It is hot in here. It is. On the text line, Scott in Shelbyville says the Preds are making major moves, and you guys are talking about the Titans.
We just talked about the Preds.
We talked about the Preds for a whole hour.
For an hour. Go back and listen to it if you'd like to. But, you know, there's nothing else going on. I guess there is some news here. Eric Halla has signed a 2-year deal with Los Angeles.
Good player.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be a solid player for somebody, but the Preds filled his role already.
I mean, look, well into his 30s.
Right.
So, yeah, you move on.
Yes.
And that's not against him. But as far as where the Preds are, you're moving on and you're getting faster.
Right, and they got younger guys who could be part of the long-term core.
There's Jeremy.
We talked a lot of Preds, Scott. If you want to go back and listen to it, you can. If there's any more news, we're keeping an eye on all the insiders, and we will get to it. But
I think it was actually an hour and 15 minutes.
Yes, it was a long. We talked a lot of Preds during the show today. We are going to finish up our over-under on the Titans with the defense coming up next.
World Cup at 11:45.
Yes, we will finish the show with some World Cup talk as the U.S. men's national team.
Ava has things to say.
Yes, we want to get Ava's thoughts on what the U.S. could do tonight against Bosnia and Herzegovina. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Little Toby Keith for you. The U.S.
I've heard of Toby Keith trying
to take down Bosnia and Herzegovina tonight. Crazy the FIFA's rigging it and having the U.S. have to face two countries.
Yeah, you know, that's like when we lost to Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah, do they get two goaltenders? Goalkeepers, sorry.
That would be interesting.
That was one of the podcast clips I saw the other day of the parody of American fans where they're like, Christian Pulisic is the LeBron James of soccer.
Two countries, two times the pain.
It's these guys in America soccer jerseys and sunglasses, and they're like, this kid Boppy, he might not be the LeBron James of soccer like Christian Pulisic, but he's pretty close.
That's what Connor said to me yesterday.
Yes. It's like Christian Pulisic, really good for an American.
Yeah. No, for sure.
That's what it is.
No,
really good for an American.
I love the Americans embracing soccer for 6 weeks here during the summer. Oh, yeah. Here goes England.
I'll tell you what has been great for soccer and the growth of soccer and the World Cup is the great players playing great soccer.
Yes.
That has been.
Yeah, I mean.
Saved by the Congo. Oh, my goodness.
The defender just ate that shot.
Watching Messi, Mbappe, and Haaland, and who else am I missing? Ronaldo.
Right. Messi.
And Harry Kane.
Haaland has been unbelievable.
Yeah. He's becoming an action figure.
Yeah.
But watching these guys just pile up the goals.
Yeah.
Yamal.
Yeah, it's for Spain. Yeah.
But watching these guys, you know, if you tuned in to watch these guys, which is something people will have done because these are the guys they've heard of, and then to see them perform at that level, that's entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, Mbappe yesterday.
Special.
Whew.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it has been fun. The great players have played their best football, their best soccer throughout the World Cup.
Messi's ridiculous.
He is. They play tomorrow, I want to say. Maybe Friday.
Didn't they just play the other night?
They haven't played in their knockout stage yet, I don't believe. News from Elliot Friedman. Mason Marchment sounds like he's heading to San Jose. Word is 5 years, $7 million. So, again, free agency is open. We're keeping you updated on any big news that comes down. That's probably the biggest deal that's been made to this point in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
The Devils did extend Nico Hischier 5 years, $11.7 million.
Okay.
So we'll keep you updated there, but we're finishing up our game of higher or lower with the Titans with the defense.
Okay.
Let's start with Big Jeff.
All right.
Big extension for Big Jeff Simmons. Does he get double-digit sacks again? Over under 10 sacks this year.
This is a tough one because that's a huge year for a guy at his spot.
Right.
And, you know, last year he was a devastating player.
And you've added more depth around him where the sacks might be more evenly spread.
I'm going to go over because, number one, I think they'll I don't know how many games they're going to win this year, but I think it's going to be more than three.
You would really hope so.
So they're going to be in position to be pass rushing more as teams try to come from behind against them.
Yep.
And my understanding, in this defense, he should face more one-on-one opportunities instead of having to take up two blockers at the same time. We've seen him get sacks facing three blockers
yep.
at times. So I think more opportunities to pass rush, better pass rushing opportunities. I think he can play and not be quite as dominant as he was last year and still hit that 10 number.
I'm going to say he does too. I think he coming off that extension.
I think he wants to prove it too.
Right. I think it's, hey, I did it. I got paid for it. Now I'm going to go do it again. And you see he's in the best shape of his life.
He's in a good place.
And I do think, yes, maybe adding more depth on that defensive line spreads out the sacks, but also it's going to give him better opportunities to go get the quarterback. So I'm going to say right around 10, I'll say 10 or 11 for Jeffrey Simmons. Parker, does Jeffrey Simmons get another double-digit sack year?
I'm going to be honest. I think there is a good chance he could have a better year than last year.
Yeah. I think
with the rotation that Saleh runs, with the pieces you brought in on the defensive line, pairing him next to John Franklin Myers, I think that's going to open up more one-on-one opportunities for him late in the game when the offensive line is already dog-tired. I think he'll be able to get to the quarterback more. So give me the over for Jeffrey Simmons.
I think Connor's got a case of the hopium here. I mean, I think he's feeling good about this Titans team.
Listen, I'm not trying to gas up the Titans fans. I know how they are, but
I don't know if you've taken an under yet.
Yeah, yes.
I know, I'm joking. Yeah. I'm joking. All right, this next one.
The rest of them, I'm taking the under.
We're going to do a team one here.
Okay.
Last year, the Titans had 6 interceptions as a team. That's really low.
Yeah, it is.
We're going to say, do they get to 10 this year? 10 interceptions as a team.
Ugh. And if you were just going to say over 6, I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're going to have more. It's hard to have less. I mean, the Jets did have 0 last year. So
10? Yeah.
10, it's basically a little over 1 per every 2 games.
Okay, I'm going to say yes, and here's why. Because they're switching from a defense, man-to-man, where you're not looking at the football, you're looking at the receiver.
Yeah.
And then you're sticking your arm up trying to knock it down. They're moving to more of a zone-style defense where the defenders are looking at the football. It makes it much easier to intercept passes. And with an improved pass rush that you think you've got, I'm going to say over. I say 10-plus.
Who leads the team in interceptions?
Kevin Winston.
Okay, I like it. I'm going to say
superior athlete.
They do get to 10. I'm going Amani Hooker. I'm going bounce back here for Hook. What do you think, Parker? 10 interceptions and who leads
the team? I'm taking the under because I feel like one major injury to this corner room, the secondary room, and the depth is not good.
Yeah,
so I'm going to go under.
When you say that with the corners, that's not who usually leads you in interceptions. It's usually your safeties. When you look at the big interception seasons in Titans history, it's Michael Griffin, it's Kevin Byard, it's Amani Hooker. All right? It's not Andre Dyson.
I've been taking too many overs. You guys are right.
So I'm
taking the under slightly
on
10.
And who leads the team?
I'm going to go, you know what? I'm going to go Kevin Winston.
Okay.
I'm going Kevin Winston.
Both on Kevin
Superior
Winston.
Superior athlete.
That's right.
All right, last one for you here. This is not an over-under. It's an either-or. Who has more sacks this season, Keldrick Falk or Femi Oladejo?
Keldrick Falk.
I will go Keldrick, too.
Keldrick Falk.
Okay. Yeah, we're all on Falk.
I have no idea what to expect.
Right, I think
Femi.
It's just the unknown with Femi.
It might be 3.5, but that'll be more.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with you there. You know what? One more while we wrap this up.
Okay.
6 wins, higher or lower? Right there.
I'll go over. I'll go to 7.
I'm going to say right there. I'm sticking with 6.
So I have traveled in the future.
Okay.
And I have come back, and I've seen what happens to the Titans.
Wow.
In 2026.
Breaking news here.
7-10.
Okay.
That's the record.
All right.
We are one mind, Parker.
we really are.
Parker,
we really are.
Time travel
today,
just to watch.
Parker, not a moron.
Not a moron. Wow.
Corey stole all of my notes before the show.
Parker
He
gets his own name back, too. He can be Parker.
I could be Parker again instead of the other guy.
Yeah. Yeah, Parker with a great use of time travel there to go watch the Titans go 7-10.
Oh, what a save.
True fan, huh?
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We've got one more segment left on this Wednesday. We'll talk some World Cup coming up after this. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 the game. Next man up, 1025 the game, wrapping up the show on this Wednesday. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you. Again, if you missed it, big news of the day, the Predators acquire Maverick Bork from the Dallas Stars, trading a second and third round pick back to Dallas. Bork had 41 points last year with the Stars, and we'll have more reaction throughout the day here on the station. Jason Big Joe up next, DVD at 3. But did want to wrap up with some World Cup talk here. We've got a thriller going on down in Atlanta right now.
Yeah.
The Congo. Up 1-0 on England, nearly was 2-0, and they're in stoppage time of the first half. So that one good. U.S. tonight against Bosnia. This is a must-win for the U.S. men's national team.
Well, I mean, they're all must-wins for everybody because it's elimination time. But yeah, to look, if they win tonight, they will have achieved what is expected. They came into this thing ranked like 16th in the world.
Right. If you make it to the top 16. Top 16,
you're right there.
Right.
Look. Statistically, they are superior to Bosnia-Herzegovina. They need to win this game. If they lose this match, it destroys all the goodwill of group play.
Yes.
It does. You know, what happens after this determines if it's an historic run or not. But this one, like you're saying, I get it. Has to happen.
Right. I think must win being used in terms of expectations.
Yes.
Because if they get to the quarterfinals and face Spain, I wouldn't say that's a must win. Yes, if they want to win the whole thing, all of them are must wins.
No, but I mean, they're not going to win the whole thing.
No, they're not.
I mean, but if they can get a big win into the round of eight,
right,
then you're talking about an historic run into the World Cup.
Yes, if you get to the quarterfinals, anything else on top of that is icing on the cake. And so, but you got to beat Bosnia tonight. It's a game that you are the heavy favorite in, and you should be able to go win. Going to be fully healthy, at least as far as we've heard. So, should be fun tonight. I'm excited. 7 o'clock kick. We got Ava in here.
Yeah,
Ava,
long time TSC goalkeeper.
Yes,
she's been enduring the heat in here. So, wanted to get her thoughts on the game tonight.
Well, I feel like there's been lots of unexpected unexpected eliminations.
Right.
Yeah, talking to that mic a little bit more there.
Okay.
I also turned up her mic.
Thanks, man.
There's been lots of unexpected eliminations, so I feel like with this World Cup, it could be anyone's game. But I think with the U.S. being the team that's supposed to win, I think that they're going to win.
Now, look.
She knows her stuff.
I believe we will win.
Christian Pulisic back and healthy.
Yep.
I think the number one key here, Ava, is ball control by the U.S.
Yes.
Can they have 60% possession time?
Right.
Because that's what they've done in the games where they've been really good. And so I think that's what we need to look for.
Yes.
Yeah. Australia and Paraguay, those two games, it felt like the pitch was tilted a lot.
Yes.
Like the U.S. just controlled it. They kept firing. They kept getting good chances. And, you know, the own goals, you can say their own goals to start both those
because
matches,
of pressure.
But they put pressure on and they got a deflection
into those situations.
Right.
Yeah. I've seen some goalkeepers in the past suffer from their own teammates kicking the ball past them.
Right.
Which is unfortunate. This was not that case.
You put pressure on, and it leads to mistakes.
We see them in hockey all the time.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, it's the same thing.
Just all the back and forth passing.
Right. Yeah, you get the goalkeeper off moving. I mean, that just happened to the English goalkeeper. He was moving right. The ball came back to the left.
Put it in a dangerous area, and good things happen. And so tonight, you know, the Turkey game, it was tough to lose. And I think it might have helped just lock them back in of like, all right, you know, it was mostly the B squad. Tyler Adams wasn't out there. Chris Richards wasn't out there. Flo Balogun.
Chris Richards is vital to this team.
It was basically McKennie played the whole game, and then you had Pulisic and Freeman sub on and Dest sub on late. But it was the B team, and so now you've got everybody back out there. You're ready to go. The yellow cards reset, so you're no danger there. This is a game the U.S. should win. And I think you want to get out to a good start, just like you did against Australia. Honestly, all three games, you've gotten off to great starts. You've scored in the first 15 minutes. So I think that's what the U.S. needs to do, put the pressure on early.
Look, and by the way, I would be there for the start of that game. Honey, that's your phone.
No, this is Parker.
Parker's
talking
to Scott Sterling
video.
That's one of my two favorite YouTube videos of all time, Scott Sterling.
It is one of the best.
But yeah, so if they win, they go on to play Belgium or Egypt.
Yes. Belgium or Senegal.
Sorry, Belgium or Senegal. Senegal, a team they defeated just before the World Cup.
Right.
And a team they are ranked ahead of, but certainly a team talented enough to take down the United States. So it won't be easy. In the next round, but again, you got to get to the next round first. I think with that home field advantage, it'll be something. Ava, I wanted to ask you, we talked earlier about how all of the star players have shown out in this thing.
Yeah.
Which one has impressed you the most?
Honestly, I think that Mbappe has impressed me the most because for just the past years in general, World Cup happening or not.
Didn't he have a hat trick in the last World Cup final?
I want to say yes. He's right behind Messi in World Cup goals despite playing a ton less matches.
Yeah, I was going to say, World Cup or not, I feel like Messi and Ronaldo have really taken over the soccer world for the past few years. So I think Mbappe has really just come back out and said, just shown that he was there.
I think Haaland is there too.
Yes.
I think Mbappe and Haaland have said, hey, we are right there with these guys.
Haaland has more goals than international matches played.
Have you seen the Twitter videos of the Viking ships?
Yeah.
It's spectacular. It's unbelievable.
Norway has been one of the fun stories.
I don't want them to get eliminated.
Them all being the fans being out there at the Travelers Championship this weekend and cheering on Victor Hovland to a win, and they're rowing the boat in
the
gallery.
Have you seen them rowing the boat on the escalator?
Yes. Yeah, I did see that.
And they're amazing.
Yeah.
Norway is the funnest team in this tournament.
There's been a lot of fun teams. Japan was really fun. The stuff that they were doing down in Dallas, trying Texas barbecue for the first time. The Freddy story was obviously cool for a while. His Germans are eliminated. And he deactivated his Twitter account, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He said it was because people were digging up old tweets of his.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
Yeah, so he was just like, I'm going to put it away.
It's not worth the headache.
No, it's been that has been one of the best parts of the World Cup is the international.
So we're in the round of 32. We've already lost the Germans and the Netherlands, and the Netherlands were one of the favorites to win, Ava.
Were both top 10 teams.
They were scientifically, picked to win.
So who is your pick now to win the whole thing?
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that France has a pretty good shot at winning with how well Mbappe is doing.
But they were so good yesterday.
Yeah, if they don't win, then I think that my pick, based on just the team that I like, would have to be Spain.
So France or Spain?
Yeah. I think Spain, they got the rust off a little bit. Lamine Yamal didn't play the first half of that Cape Verde game. Mm-hmm. And I think that they're a dangerous team in the U.S.'s quadrant of the bracket.
Yep.
Their round of 16 match would be Portugal, most likely.
Yep.
So that's going to be one of the best games of that round.
Yeah, it's
Brazil, you can never count them out either, even though they haven't, they almost lost.
Just came up on ESPN, the favorite to win it, France and Argentina.
And then Spain.
Yeah, I was going to say the two teams I've been most impressed with, France and Argentina.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm with you, Ava. If I had to make a wager, I would wager on France.
Wait, Corey, I don't mean to get you on a tangent here, but where do you stand on the Messi-Ronaldo debate?
See, this is where Ava and I have a wall between us.
Okay.
I am Messi and she is Ronaldo.
Oh. Yeah.
All right. What's the debate, though? What's the comparison?
She says he sucks and I say he doesn't.
Okay.
Go ahead.
That's about the extent of our soccer knowledge on the show.
The debate for a lot of people is based on World Cup wins, goals, games played, and stuff like that.
I mean, Ronaldo is spectacular, without question. But Ronaldo is also an Adonis. I mean, when you look at the physique and the size and the power, and then you see a little hedgehog out on the field doing what he does, it's incredible. The way he sees the game. I said this the other day to somebody. I can't remember who. Did you ever watch The Queen's Gambit on Netflix?
I've not.
Okay.
I've heard of it, though.
So this
chess, right?
Yeah, this drug-addicted chess player. She basically stare at the ceiling and play the game, at mock speed in her head to see all the different, combinations.
Oh.
Just how she sees the board. She's a genius. and she just sees the board differently.
Yeah.
Messi sees the field differently.
Yeah.
He sees the seams. He sees the gaps before they're even there.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, on top of quickness, that's how he's able to get to spots, because he sees them before anybody else does.
Yeah.
And his accuracy on finishing is incredible.
Yep.
Incredible. So both amazing players. They just do it a little bit differently. Yeah. And so I have an appreciation and she has an appreciation.
Yeah, like I've always said, I feel like there's two kinds of players. There's a kind of player who's able to physically charge through a situation and not think twice about it because they know that they're the stronger player, that
yep.
they can just power through. And then there's a player who knows that they probably aren't the strongest player or the fastest player out there. And so they know that they have to make the smarter decision. They can't
we know that player.
Push through.
That player might mm-hmm. be sitting next to me.
There you go. 615-737-1025. That'll do it for us today. World Cup going on right now. England down 1-0 at halftime against the Congo.
I'm going to say they're in trouble.
Yep. And the U.S. plays tonight against Bosnia and Herzegovina. We'll be back tomorrow. It's a TD Thursday tomorrow at 9 a.m. Big thanks to Corey, Ava, Parker. Signing off. Chase and Big Joe coming up next year on 1025 The Game.